Welcome to the July 25th edition of Dead Pit Radio. Finally, the B plan is back on Dead Pit.
That's right. All the B arches and, all three or four of them will be happy, Steve.
At least four out of six people are excited.
Oh, you're saying just six people listen to Dead Pit now?
No, I don't know why I said that. But anyway, there's a small number.
You might be right, especially the episode you're on, Steve. No offense.
Yeah, that's true. I bring down the rating. I know you've told me about the ratings. And every time I'm on here, it goes down the shitter.
Yeah.
So I would say do not, if you want it to be better, just do not advertise I'm on it.
That's true. So.
And then nobody will know until they download it and it's already over.
So, yeah, it has been a while. We haven't had the B plan on in quite some time. You were on the live show last week, but, that's about it.
Yeah, I was on the live show.
So.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. But this week, kind of a laid-back show. I mean, not a whole lot going on. So we're just going to go through some news. And that'd be about it, Steve. We can talk about, the Dead Pit stuff that's going on. A lot of stuff's happening in the Dead Pit universe.
Is it?
Well, yeah. Keep people updated and all that.
Oh.
Yeah, the new Dead Pit website comes up the end of September. It's going to be out there.
September ends!
Yeah, so, when September ends, the Dead Pit listener will be able to listen to every Dead Pit episode that there's ever been. Now,
do we make our goal of contribution?
There's not a goal. It's just a constant, So for those that want to donate, because this stuff isn't free, there's a donation button that's going to remain up on the website, because there's a lot of stuff we're going to be doing. Some additional shows that I'm going to be adding on there, like, for instance, the episode of Eurocult featuring Dead Pit. You remember that show, Steve?
A little bit, because I was pretty drunk.
Yeah, so that was a show that was a show from like 4 or 5 years ago that you used to do.
I think it was 2009.
Or whenever it was. It was a while ago. And we've got that. We're going to put up some of the early pre-Dead Pit episodes of the Two Against podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll be randomly putting up other stuff, like classic, midweek shows, just a bunch of extra stuff, like those episodes of Rumorg Radio that we were on and a bunch of stuff like that, a lot of stuff that you can't listen to anymore anywhere else online. So... yeah, I mean, it's going to be a cool site. It's going to be a lot more interactive with social media as well. You'll be able to tweet the episode. You'll be able to, post a share it on Facebook really easily. It's going to be updated, Steve. It's kind of high tech, especially for, rednecks. It's like Mayberry meets Star Trek, Steve.
Dead Pit 2.0. You can tweet new Dead Pit.
That's right. It's actually
we won't get that trending.
It's going to be a lot easier too, because I know Steve and Dane will be doing an episode of Two Against, and it'll be 4 or 5 days before I can get it up, just because I'm a busy man. I mean, people don't realize I've got things to do. I'm not always in front of a computer. So. Yeah, it's not bullshit, Steve. That's a shoot, man. That is a shoot.
Work and a half, dude. No. Work.
But
your work is a work.
I'm going to be able to update the website from my phone if I want to. So it's going to be a lot easier. So everybody should be happy about that. So.
Everybody's just insanely joyful.
But we should let I'm a joyful son of a bitch, Steve. Joyful.
I know You're like sunshine on a cloudy day kind
of
shit.
Well, you should be happy too, Steve, because I did finally get the episode up of, you know, the Two Against podcast episode, what is it, 28?
Oh.
So, yeah, anybody that needs something to listen to after this show can definitely check out.
Maybe we can do like an after show, after Dead Pit show, and go over the high points.
Oh, talking Dead Pit?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, but this particular, like, I haven't had a chance to listen to this Two Against show that you guys did. I just know it's something about monkeys or something.
We always pick one movie or try, seemingly, that kind of sparks our interest or we think's fun or the best movie we saw that week. And it's the movie Link from 1986 with the a killer orangutan butler. So it's a very cool movie. It's from the director of the original Patrick. Yeah. And he also directed Psycho 2.
Oh, yeah, Psycho 2. That was Richard, what was his name?
Stanley.
Richard Stanley.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we don't really talk a whole lot about, I guess we have in the past. We've talked about them all. We've talked about every fucking movie, it seems like, on this show over the years. But, you know, I don't think people realize in 1983 when Psycho 2 came out, just, you know, how ridiculous that idea sounded at the time. Right. Because this was 23 years after the original film, which by that point was definitely a classic film, was one of Alfred Hitchcock's, you know, definitely top three films of his that people always reference. So it was a pretty big thing. And honestly, to me, like, because I was a kid, you know, I saw Psycho 2 before I saw the original Psycho. I know a lot of people probably were with me on that too, because Psycho 2, I mean, they used to play that shit all the time on TV and HBO and all that crap. But, you know, I mean, thinking back in retrospect, I mean, that's a pretty damn awesome sequel, you know, for a classic movie. I mean, that was, I always loved Psycho 2. So
I say it's good, but it's not, it doesn't touch the original at all.
But no, but it's
a good sequel.
It's respectable.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, a couple of areas, like Norman would never get out of prison, you know. But it's not that far-fetched, I don't guess. I mean, they've been rumored, releasing, like, Charlie Manson for years now. So, although it's never been proven that he actually killed anybody, but, you know, he kind of encouraged people to murder and shit. So it's just about as bad. But anyway, this episode of Dead Pit, like I said, there is some interesting news stories this week. So we should have enough stuff to talk about to cover about an hour or something. But over the next few weeks, I was actually talking to Uncle Bill, who is unfortunately absent from this episode. He was going on close to 2 months, Steve, every Dead Pit episode for 2 months. But he unfortunately had a business meeting to attend.
Yeah, right.
And couldn't make the show.
That's bullshit.
I want to get in touch with, I was recently in touch with someone from Arrow Video, and I can't really go into detail about why they contacted me, but I think that we should definitely get one of their people on to talk about their releases. And I want to get Don May Jr. back on and possibly somebody from Vinegar Syndrome.
I want to talk about Vinegar Syndrome because Uncle Bill was mentioning that Night Train to Terror, that Blu-ray's been out for quite a while.
That's what I thought.
And I have it, and it's an okay transfer. The one extra they have is the one of the segments they cut up. They actually have the full movie on there. I think it's called like Greta or Death Wish Club or something. And when you watch that movie, it makes a lot of things a lot more clear, because in the story in the Night Train to Terror, they cut it up so bad. There's like people that change, and you don't know why this girl looks like a boy, and there's all kinds of stuff, but it's a fun little movie, and, you know, I got it, on Blu-ray disc from Vinegar Syndrome.
You actually know what I have on Blu-ray disc? I just got it in yesterday, I think.
I know. You already told me.
From Synapse Films. And I'm definitely looking forward to watching it. Hopefully, I get to watch it this weekend because...
I only had to pay $16 total for it, so...
Well, thanks to my good friend Don May Jr., I didn't have to pay anything for this one.
Yes, I know.
Special edition of Curtains on Blu-ray. And honestly, man, like, that's a movie that I didn't really grow up with. I didn't even see that movie until probably about 7 or 8 years ago. Somebody sent me a VHS rip from a DVD on it.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember a whole lot about the movie, but I think this is definitely deserving of a reviewing just to see what in the hell Don May did for the transfer of this damn thing. Because we all know, like, if he gets a hold of the original camera negatives, this thing is going to look as good as something coming out today, you know. So it's going to be interesting.
I saw, like, the screenshots of it, and compared to, you know, the VHS rip, it's all drab and shit.
Yeah.
It looks like a brand new movie. I think someone even said that it's colorful as Suspiria, which some of the scenes I saw were just, like, beautiful red and blues. So, I mean, it looks amazing.
Yeah. So, speaking of, like, Don May Jr. and transfers and stuff, he also did the new 4K restoration of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And they recently released the cover art for that. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. I posted it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, you tagged me, so I heard a lot of beeping going on. So I went and checked it out, and I saw the cover.
Yeah. I don't know. I may be wrong on this, but it's on Amazon. It's the cover, right? If you go to Amazon, you look that Texas Chainsaw 40th Anniversary Edition up. It's on Amazon. That's why I posted it. But I would be very surprised if that's the final cover art. That just doesn't... I don't know, man. I mean, if you look at the 2008 Dark Sky release, that cover art fucking ruled. Like, that was amazing looking.
Ruled!
It was off the chain, Cole. Okay? But the new one, it doesn't do much for me. I don't think I'd be very surprised if that actually ended up being the final artwork they used. Could be, but what do you think about that? You think that's going to be the final artwork?
I would hope not. It looks cheap. I mean, it looks like a comic book.
Yeah.
I mean, like some people said, that one they posted with the dead armadillo and all that. I mean, okay. I would like it for it to be kind of vague looking and not like do the money shot on the damn cover. But, you know.
You know what I would love to see? I don't know if they could do this. I would love to see the Media Home Entertainment artwork. I think that's awesome. I mean, I don't know if they could do that. I don't know who owns the rights to that artwork, but I would love to see that come back. Or maybe even the original theatrical poster.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll find out here before it's in the fall, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What about Synapsis? I hear they're releasing Tenebrae.
Are they releasing that? I don't know.
I heard on another show that they actually got some kind of Giallo documentary that's going to be an extra on there, so I definitely pick that up. It's a full-length documentary about Giallo movies.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to watch anything that Synapse does, and that's why we should definitely get Don back on the show. It's been years.
Yeah, and I have to ask Don why I'm not getting any screeners.
Well, I mean, I'm the main Dead Pit host, so of course it should come to me. I'm on every episode, Steve. Every episode of Dead Pit there's ever been has been one constant. Who's that been?
Noodles.
No, Noodles is retired.
She has?
She's in a cat sanctuary.
Oh, I'm sure in the backyard. Or probably in the kitchen laying around.
No, she's like just laying around on the porch or something. I just fed her some oven fried chicken earlier. She's loving that.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
Anyway, enough of the bullshitting back and forth. Let's get in some news, Steve.
Yeah, news we can use.
Because we don't like to bullshit on this show.
It's a no bullshit zone, right?
Yeah. Friday the 13th reboot. More info on that. Producer Brad Fuller of Platinum Dunes had this to say about the upcoming film. He says, I can't make any determination about found footage or 3D until we have a story that we will all agree on and what it and that we all like. The story is the most important thing, and the way you tell the story to me is secondary. We have some writers writing, but because we don't have a script that everyone has signed off on, I can't speak to how the story is meant to be told. All those things have been considered, but no decisions have been made. We don't know what story is being told. So, evidently this is going to be, Friday the 13th films have always been about just the deep storytelling.
Yeah, deep character, a lot of character development.
Right, so... You know, Brad Fuller, of course, from Platinum Dunes, he's been responsible for some amazing films over the years. He wants to make sure that all the Friday the 13th fans are, they appreciate the deep storytelling that's going to be in this. You know, and after they get done with that, they figure out exactly what type of story is going to be told. Is this going to be from Jason's point of view now? We're going to experience the whole movie as Jason. What are we going to do? I mean, it could be a found footage film. It could be a 3D film. What gimmicks can we best utilize to get people to buy this fucking movie?
Oh, they should tie it in and at the end of the movie say, go to this website to find out what happened.
Yeah.
That's what they should do.
Yeah. So, it doesn't look like they're going any, they're trading any water or anything with this new remake. I mean, we don't really know whatever the hell it is. I mean, reboot, reimagining, it doesn't look like it's anywhere close to being a reality yet. So, and once it becomes a reality, we'll probably talk more about it, but I'm not really expecting a whole lot out of it, to be honest with you. Because I think that, the Paramount or Warner Brothers, whoever, they definitely dropped the ball on doing a sequel to the 2009 movie. I don't understand. I mean, that just baffles me.
It's ponderous, man.
It is. I mean, look at these movies that are coming out now. You know, you had The Purge last year, which wasn't, I mean, it was a decent hit, wasn't it? I mean, it didn't make a ton of money. I mean, I think it did pretty good. And you've already got a sequel out the next year. Why can't they do that with Friday the 13th? Like, that's how it should be, you know? I mean, the Friday the 13th movies, I love those movies, but they're not really, like, they shouldn't be, nobody should care about the story. It's the same fucking thing in every movie. I mean,
you should be able to come up with an outline within 30 minutes.
I know. Just a different location. That's enough of a story change.
You get a bunch of pieces of paper and you write on like jock,
yeah,
and asshole chick and or bitch, and then you put them in a hat and you draw five or six out, and then that's your characters. Exactly. Booyah! Are you dead?
You know, my microphone goes in and out. Do a Friday the 13th movie around Christmas time or something. I mean, if you really want to be that much different, you know, Jason is slashing up the holiday season or something like that. Hell, sorry. I mean, fuck.
How about Jason Friday 13th on Black Friday? Huh? And he goes to a Best Buy and he kills all the fucking campers out in the fucking...
I think... Yeah. That's actually that's a pretty good idea, Steve. You don't come up with good ideas.
Oh,
awesome,
bullshit. I'm full of ideas. I'm the idea man.
Full of shit.
I came up with the universe.
Did you? You think you're God?
I came up with the Dead Pit universe, that is.
Did you?
The name, yes.
See. Some more news on Rob Zombie's 31.
I like the art. Did you see the artwork?
Yeah. It almost looks like a scene from Karate Kid, yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It says the only thing we know about the film is it takes place on Halloween. And Rob Zombie recently presented the fans with a tantalizing tease, a look at a look at some conceptual art by Alex Horley. Says, all I can tell you is it's a completely original idea. It's something new. It's not based on anything. I'll start shooting the movie in the fall. So hopefully starting from October, I'll start shooting it. For right now, I'm going to keep the details secret, but it's not based on anything. So we will have to wait and see what's up with Rob Zombie's 31. I'm definitely excited about this. I enjoyed, Lords of Salem. I thought that that was a good movie. I know some people, like, that was one that people were kind of split down the middle on. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. Not much of an in-between. So, but, yeah.
I don't know if I find it an interesting movie. I wouldn't say I would. It's hard for me to come up with a like or dislike. But I guess if you have to watch it a few times to figure out, you know, to kind of figure that out, I guess it's some kind of like there.
Yeah. I like the art direction of the movie, I guess, the most. Like, just the way the movie looked and just the, I don't know, the cinematography and the, I just like that aspect of it the most, I think. It almost looked like it was like a mid-90s type vibe, you know, grunge vibe or something.
It had like, you know, kind of, and like everybody says, I think it does have a Stanley Kubrick, kind of vibe, John Carpenter.
Yeah. It was definitely different than anything he'd ever done. I was kind of surprised by it. But anyway, I think we should kick it to a break, and then we'll come back and talk about some more horror news, if you will, that you can use and abuse here on the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated ballers and shock callers of Horror Talk Radio, deadpits.com.
Lionel.
Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentuckian here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's wesvance@gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image or type out the code, either one will work, and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's wesvance@gmail.com, wesvance@gmail.com, or on Facebook, private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show. Hey folks, now you have an opportunity to listen to every episode of Dead Pit Radio that's ever been recorded. Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
All of your favorite shows with all of your favorite interviews and all of the skits that made us legendary can now be yours. Imagine it.
Yeah, it's not Dead Pit Premium. We talked about that for a while, but this is an opportunity for the next 3 or 4 months for you to donate some of your money so we can pay for server costs to include such famous Dead Pit episodes as the John Carpenter Show.
Or the George Romero Show.
The Angus Scrim Show, boy!
and so many others, including guys like Joe Dante and Stuart Gordon and all of your favorite directors and actors from horror films.
Scream queens like Linnea Quigley, Felissa Rose, Tiffany Shepis. The list goes on and on and on and on. Tons of interviews and skits all the way back to the very first Dead Pit Radio show, which hasn't been heard in, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Probably at least that. So all we're asking is for a small donation from a lot of people to keep this going.
Yeah.
And all of those shows can be yours.
That's right. Brand new Dead Pit website is debuting this fall, and the goal is by probably September or October it'll be up, and it will, if your donations meet expectations, okay, and there's no masturbations on board, it'll include 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, and yes, 2014. We've been doing this show too fucking long.
That's true, but think about it. You can get it at the beginning, you can get it in the middle, and you can get it towards the end, which is where we're at right now.
That's true.
But all that can be yours from the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
DeadPit.com. Donation boxes on the main page. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
This is Bill, president of Cold Red DVD, cheapening the lineup Dead Pit Radio has by doing a promo for them saying you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentuckian here with you.
Yeah, B-Plans is over here too.
Raise the roof for the biatches. One of the funniest stories, I was just looking this up, is one of our favorite, you know, shitty 80s slasher movies, who we actually interviewed the director, James Bryan, years and years and years ago on the show. Don't Go in the Woods is apparently getting a Blu-ray release in the UK via 88 Films.
They know who 88 Films kind of is, right? For some, I heard they're kind of the UK branch of Full Moon.
I have no. I've never heard of them before.
Oh, really? Yeah,
no.
They've been releasing a lot of Full Moon shit in the UK, like Castle Freak, and I think that's the big one that I remember seeing their name attached to.
So I remember. No, I'm looking at their website right now. They've got like a blog. on here. They have a lot of bizarre movies I think they're coming out with on Blu-ray.
I think they came out with Monster Squad in the UK on Blu-ray.
Really?
I think so.
Anyway, you know, we'll figure this out later. But they had, like, that movie The Boneyard up there on the website and Slaughterhouse, which I actually enjoy Slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Anyway, Don't Go in the Woods was filmed in 35mm. And they posted as such, the opportunity has arisen for 88 to release this puppy on Blu-ray. The elements remain, and we are thrilled to announce that getting its UK debut soon will be this outrageous example of 80s horror hokum. It says the film, I didn't know this, the film played in America on a cinematic double bill with The Hills Have Eyes. What? Oh,
that's a lot of hillbilly horror, isn't it?
Yeah. So, that is crazy. Like, and this was like Code Red's very first release, I think.
Back, it was one of them, at the very least. Cause,
I think it was that in The Forest and maybe one other one. You know, I love Blu-ray as a format, but at the same time, you know, some of these movies that's coming out, like you mentioned, Night Train to Terror, like, and they're just really, really low budget. Like, I remember James Bryan in the interview telling us that was such a low budget film to make that they had bought film stock that was expired. Because it was very cheap to get. So they were using, when they were filming that movie, expired film stock to film the movie. So I don't know. I really would be surprised if that movie looked that good on Blu-ray. It almost looks like it didn't even look that good on DVD, as I remember.
I thought it looked decent.
Does it look like something that would get, be worthy of an upgrade on Blu-ray, though? I don't think so.
I mean, that would be my thing. Some things are good enough as they are. I think that the DVD of that looked really decent, and I don't need to upgrade to a Blu-ray on every movie I have. I just can't do that.
I did hear that, I think you were telling me this, or maybe somebody messaged me this, Madman on Blu-ray is coming. They're doing like a 4K restoration of Madman, and that Vinegar Syndrome is releasing that one on Blu-ray. Is that true?
I heard that. I saw it on a forum, so I can't 100% say that's the truth, but
yeah,
that's the better news, because, I mean, Vinegar Syndrome, I know they do a lot of vintage porn and stuff, but they also do a lot of exploitation and horror movies. Graduation Day, for better or worse, is getting a 4K transfer. So, you know, if Madman can get that kind of treatment, then that'd be pretty cool. And if they can restore it back to that, you know, the blue hue that everybody wants to see,
mm-hmm.
Not the freaking dried out look.
Yeah, definitely. That's one for sure that I would purchase, just because.
I mean, there's an HD version on Vudu that I used to have, and it was in HD, and it I mean, I unfortunately didn't watch it all. I just got watched to the first campfire scene and all that, and it had the original kind of blue tint to it and everything, and it looked
really good.
So it looked decent. I mean, I can't say for the rest of it, but.
They also announced this week, and a lot of people were bitching about this too. And I'll see if I can get, hang on, if you all hang on just a second, I'll see if I can get the actual extras. But they announced all of the special features for the upcoming Halloween, entire collection series, whatever the hell, the complete Halloween collection on Blu-ray. And, a lot of people were kind of like very underwhelmed by the stuff that was included on there. And it would take a while to go through it all. But it seems like to me, aside from there's like two new commentaries that I can think of, maybe three.
Well, we got Jamie Lee Curtis doing a commentary.
Right. Jamie Lee Curtis is doing a commentary with Steve Miner for H2O. That's new. You got a new commentary on the first Halloween with Dean Cundey, Tommy Lee Wallace, and Nick Castle. That's new. Let me go through. I'll just talk about all the new stuff on here. Yeah. That'll be easier. Because there's not, honestly, aside from a couple of movies, there's not much new on this. Let me see. Nothing new on Halloween 2. Nothing new on Halloween 3. Doesn't look like anything's new on Halloween 4.
Mm.
Nothing new on Halloween 5.
Oh, no.
I know, that's unfortunate, isn't it?
Halloween 5 was a high benchmark for the series.
Let's see. They have, of course, The Curse of Michael Myers, the producer's cut. That's the big one. That, you know, and I'll talk about why I think that they're fucking up here in just a second, but all the new stuff from this one's a new high-def master from the original Internegative, a new audio commentary with Dan Ferenz, the screenwriter and composer Alan Howarth, Jamie's story and interview with the original Jamie actress Danielle Harris, which is bizarre because she, of course, was not in this movie. Another interview with Malika Codd and Paul Freeman. A look at the cast with actresses Mariah O'Brien and J.C. Brandy.
J.C. Brandy.
New Shape of Things, looking at Michael Myers, Murders and Mayhem, and all that bullshit with George Wilbur. New Haddonfield Horrors, The Sights of Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. I guess it's kind of like a Horrors Hallowed Ground type thing. Full Circle, an interview with Alan Howarth, which who really gives a shit about that? Alan Howarth has made a career out of just redoing John Carpenter's theme over and over again, which I guess you got to pat him on the back for that. He's kind of known for that. But
anyway. Barry Horowitz, dude.
New cast and crew tribute to Donald Pleasance. So nothing else is new there. Okay, on H2O, you have new commentary with Steve Miner and Jamie Lee Curtis, which we talked about. Sean Clark's actually moderating that. So,
oh, man.
New making of H2O featuring, and this is kind of surprising.
Oh, God, here we go.
Jamie Lee Curtis is on there, of course.
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett, man. Is his career went that downhill where he's actually doing stuff about, you know, some of his early, like, horror movies and shit? Jody Lynn O'Keefe, Nancy Stevens, Adam Hanbird. Handbird.
Handbird.
Tom Kane, editor Patrick Lussier, producer Malika Codd, producer Paul Freeman, composer John Ottman, Chris Duran, who played Michael Myers in the movie, a bunch of other fucking people. And that's the new stuff on H2O. Nothing new on Halloween Resurrection. Nothing new on Rob Zombie's Halloween. And nothing new on Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Oh, my.
They do have... And here's the thing that I think is funny. And I think it's bullshit as well.
Oh, no.
Because they have this bonus disc, disc 15. And they're so cheap that they're putting... They have, like, the making of Halloween 4 on this disc. Right, and they have an Inside Halloween, or the making of Halloween 5, which features new interviews with everybody and all that, on a separate disc. So basically, and this is just, this is the thing that pisses me off,
uh-oh,
Steve, and you better watch out, because I'm starting to get emotional about this.
Oh, God.
You're putting all that stuff out there. Anchor right. Bay has probably a whole warehouse full of Halloween 4 and 5 Blu-rays that nobody fucking, you can't give them away. Right?
Right.
So, of course, they're including that as some of the discs in this set. And the new extras that are for Halloween 4 and 5 are actually just going to be on a bonus disc that they've produced for this set.
I think that's smart.
Well, it's smart for them because it's not going to cost them any more money, you know, printing those Blu-rays.
Yeah.
So, but my only gripe with this set ultimately is they should have released a single version of Halloween 6 by itself. But they're not going to do that, so. What do you think, Steve?
I mean, honestly,
what do you think of the extras, too?
I mean, didn't they do this with other things? I mean, they kind of, with the big set of Friday 13th, they were pretty much recycled all the extras.
Well, the thing is, though, the difference with that is I got that set for $60. Like, that set was cheap. And there was like four or five movies that was never on Blu-ray before with that set. Aside from the producer's cut of Part 6, every movie has been on Blu-ray for years. You know, and they just released last year, they just released, that deluxe 30th anniversary edition of Halloween, or 35th anniversary, whatever the hell it was, and Halloween 2 and 3 from Scream Factory, which are exactly the same fucking discs. You know, and it's not like, you know, and I know Felcher, we had him on a few weeks ago, and he posted something on there, you can't please the fans. You know, I understand, that's probably right. I mean, fans are probably going to bitch about anything, but this is something that is worthy of bitching about, I think. I mean, I know these guys work on their extras, and they put a lot of time in that stuff, but at the end of the day, how many times do you expect the fans of these movies to keep buying the same shit over and over again? You know, very much like back in the day when me and Uncle Bill were collecting wrestling figures, right? And Jack Specific, the group that was doing WWF wrestling figures back in the day, they would make multiple figures of the same wrestlers and just put them in like two packs or multi-packs and make them limited editions and all this shit. It didn't take me long to realize these motherfuckers are just greedy. So, you gotta, and I'm so sick of this bullshit, like all this shit coming out, like Code Red, they're a prime example of that shit too. Every fucking thing they come out with is limited.
Right.
Why? I don't get it. I really don't.
And the crate, and one thing I hate is that the dumbass, he'll say he sold out on his website, but then you go to eBay and there's his user, and he's selling them for $5 more. Yeah. So he's not sold out. He's just selling them on eBay. And
he's open. Yeah, I mean, that guy's everybody knows. And I'm going to go ahead because, you know, he's posting shit about us. We talked about this last week on the show. That guy is probably one of the craziest fucking, I mean, I think there's something wrong with that guy for real, Steve.
Well, he definitely doesn't seem like a way to run a company.
Hell no.
When he's the one man show and you got, you know, people don't, it just doesn't seem like that's a good way to run a company if you're trying to actually, you know, get bigger and expand, but he's not doing that. He's just trying to stay the same, and it's just I don't know. You know, I actually got the Nightmare Blu-ray, but I haven't watched it as of yet. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly think like Code Red. They are, I guess, still around. But, I mean, look at, the only place you can get that shit is their website. Like, it's like,
that's not, that's not exactly true. Some titles you can get on Diabolik DVD.
Yeah, but none of this shit is out like on Amazon where everybody else's stuff is, or
no,
especially in stores.
No, I mean, and also it's Scorpion's going to have some of their titles released in a limited way, Blu-rays, I think, too, and they're only going to be available on the Code Red site, so it's kind of strange.
Yeah.
Business model. I understand. Hell, I sold the Neon Maniacs Blu-ray for like $50. So, or actually, no, $65 or something. No, $50. I'm sorry.
Remember, figured out, Steve. Come on now.
It was around $50, $55, something like that. And then I thought it was sold out because he said he was sold out. Next thing I know, I'd go to the website. They're still selling them.
None of that shit's sold out.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah.
I think this guy spent $60 or $50 on a Blu-ray
like
that he got for half of that.
Just Before Dawn, that was sold out I don't know how many different times, too. And he always brought it back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, at this point, like, as much as they charge for those fucking Blu-rays and stuff, like, they're like $30 most of them are. And plus, you got to pay like $6 to get. That's just fucking stupid. Like, I ain't gonna spend that much money on those stupid.
They're not $30, but they're $25, $24, $22 plus five or
well,
so.
I thought Nightmare was like $30.
Well, I think it was that one.
Steve, don't correct me, buddy. I know my shit.
You're generalizing, and I'm saying that that's not the case with every Blu-ray. That's only like most of them are. There's some that was 22,
yeah,
and then there's one that were 25, and then that one was the most expensive one they've had. Except I think
I just think at the end of the day, you know, the audience, the people that buy these movies that are going to be buying $120 Halloween shit that they already have, or, you know, people even that's doing the big $365 photo op thing, it's clearly a different audience than it was when I first started collecting movies and
they
going to conventions and stuff like that. It's, I mean, honestly, I'm thinking that we should probably start a photo gallery and make fun of the stupid fucking retards that are paying $365 for that Robert Englund picture.
Well, what about the $400 for Sly Stallone's?
Well, that's not our genre, Steve. I'm just saying.
That's just ridiculous. That's people who have an ego, and yeah. I don't know why he's doing that. He should know that that's a bunch of bullshit for the fans. I wouldn't have never agreed to that. So, I mean,
that is bullshit, man.
He's got to take some kind of responsibility for that. It's not just promoters and all this. It's he agreed to it, and he thinks it's give me an effing break. All that money's going to him and the promoter, and maybe $10 is going to that damn drive-in or whatever the hell it is.
I doubt it's even $10, but who knows?
That's just bullshit. And I would be embarrassed to even come up and say that I wasted $360 on something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people just, I don't want to overgeneralize again and get Steve mad at me, but to me, in my opinion, anybody that would work hard for a living and has a job should know the value of a dollar.
Yeah.
At least, have some inkling of the idea. You know, when we live in a world where there are people that go to bed hungry, right? They can't afford new shoes. A lot of people are homeless and live on the street and stuff. And you have shit like this available for people to waste. I mean, it really is. And I'm a fan of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I'm a fan of horror films. But at some point in the day, in your life, as a human, you should fucking just, a switch should hit and be like, this is a waste of money. And I think, you know, rebuying the same stuff you already have just for one movie that's shittier than the theatrical version anyway, that's a waste of money. I think that a lot of these, you know, quote unquote limited editions that are jacked up to $30 a piece, you know, just so they can sell more and more of them, that's a waste of money too. And definitely the photo op, the Robert Englund thing, that is probably the, one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. And anybody out there that, you know, that is spending that kind of money on that, I think they should be publicly ridiculed. I mean, that's all I'm going to say, because that's just $365. Like, I felt horrible. I did. I was like, but I'm such a fan. And it was all going to a children's hospital, supposedly. I mean, that was what they said. So it didn't make it seem as bad. And it was $80, you know, to do the Jamie Lee Curtis thing. But she was donating all that money, you know, to the children's hospital and stuff. So that made it kind of like, well, you know, I mean, it is a lot of money, but at the same time, you know, this is a one-time thing. And it's going to a good cause. But the Robert Englund thing, and people, like, we were talking to Felcher about this too, and I had to call bullshit on the show when he said it was for charity. That's not charity for me, man. A fucking drive-in theater. I mean, I love drive-ins and movie, you know, 35 millimeter movie theaters, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not a charity. That's fucking bullshit. I mean, I can't support anything, you know, related to saving whatever drive-in by donating fucking almost $400 for a stupid picture.
and we know that motherfucker, that shit's going to fucking, that's going to greedy people. That ain't going to no, you know, whatever. That ain't going to no hospital like Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, I could probably believe that she's actually going to give a lot of that money, or, you know, the majority of that money did go to the, because she seems like a trustworthy person. And I don't know, I mean, Robert Englund, I don't think he's not, but I just think that that's just, you know, crazy.
Yeah, and that's clearly, like I was saying, that's not a charity either.
No, I mean, we all want to keep driving, so I know I do.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to spend all that money, and I know for fucking well that most of that money's not going there.
Oh, fuck. I'm sure that $15 processing fee, that's... If I was guessing, that's probably what is going towards the drive-in thing. Because it said a percentage of the proceeds was going to that, right?
That's just like fucking someone raping your asshole and taking a shit on it. Because give me a fucking break. What process are they using? Give me a damn break because, I mean, are we talking about, I mean, they're taking digital pictures and we're talking about fucking tickets. When I buy a fucking ticket to some convention, they charge me $3 or $4 for whatever, a processing fee. That's just like that's just pissing on a pile of shit and saying, "Hey, here, take some more." That there pisses me off more than anything is that kind of shit.
Right.
Processing fee. How about you just to fucking include it in the fucking $360 you're taking from me?
Exactly. Like, I was quite, is it turned into Ticketmaster or something? I mean,
yeah. That's what
and even like. Ticketmaster doesn't charge a $15 processing fee.
I mean,
you could go buy Rolling Stone tickets and it'd probably be like a $6 processing fee or something.
I mean, how many of these fucking things do they have? They act like they were sold out. And
they probably are sold out. Because people that attend these conventions now, and I know I'm going to upset people when I say this, but most of them are retards. They are. They'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars at these shows, and most of them have probably never worked a day in their lives. You know, they probably come from a rich family. They're bored. They spend daddy's money or whatever.
Oh, I don't believe that. I believe they're just people who are just really... really, are the ones who don't need to be spending money. They don't. They're probably working at low paying jobs, and then they save all their money living with their parents, and then they go blow it at one of these conventions.
They could definitely blow it all at. You know, yeah. I'm sure it's both types of people. honestly. But
yeah, there's not one person that goes to these conventions. There's a lot of them, like me and you and Dana, who go to these conventions, and we'll maybe meet one or two people that we really want, and then we'll walk around and not spend another dime, because we're not going to sit there and spend $30 to get us something signed by Barry Boswick.
That'd be a deal for Barry Boswick, man. $30.
I'm sorry, I'm not spent. I was going to get something signed. I was like, $30? Fuck that. I'm not getting. I'm not paying $30 for him.
Yeah. And it's just ridiculous, you know. I mean, more and more of this stuff, like, you know,
the
I mean, we
ego
could
go trip for him, and they need to calm the fuck down.
They really do. And I think
it's a fucking signature. It's not a fucking, you're not giving me an ounce of blood.
Oh, no.
Give me a signature, and you know, and you'll make a little money this weekend. You'll get an ego stroke from everybody coming up there and meeting you. That should be, you know, reward enough. Not fucking, hey, I'm going to go, I'm going to get 40 grand this weekend. That's not, you know, that's not helping anybody. That's not making me want to give.
Oh, fuck.
I'm not going to spend no money.
Here's what I'm going to say on this. Robert Englund's going to be making six figures that weekend. I guarantee you he's making at least $100,000.
Well, I would say that's probably true.
Yeah. So, and I've talked to a person that actually messaged me. I'm not going to say any names, that bought the photo op. And this is before, you know, when they first went on sale, they were saying in Freddy makeup. And they didn't include any asterisks saying he won't wear the full costume, which he's not. He's not wearing the sweater, the hat, or anything like that. And this particular person wanted to get his money, wanted a refund. And guess what, Steve?
No.
No.
What?
No refund. Since proceeds were going to whatever that fucking thing, you know, some charity, supposedly, the
so
driving.
That money, just as quick as you buy the ticket, that money goes immediately to the
it's
charity.
It's gone. It's boom. It's vanished.
Yeah.
It goes right to that charity. You know,
we don't have no money. It's all gone.
That's saving a drive-in theater in Chicago.
Yeah.
But basically what this all came from was, you know, we were talking about the Halloween set, and that's expensive as shit. And you've got...
I guarantee you it'll be under 100 within a few months, if not even under $80.
Yeah.
And I don't see that thing staying. I think that's... They always release that shit at a higher rate, and then in a few months, when the buzz is dried down, they'll decrease the price to a more affordable rate,
reasonable,
if you want to call it that.
Well, I mean, another example, and I love Scream Factory. I think that they do a great job with their releases, but and I'm shocked by this: the $5,000 limited edition. It's cost close to $5,000.
Yeah.
But the limited edition, you know, the 5,000 copies of Nightbreed, that sold out, right? So, Scream Factory decided to double the amount. It's 10,000 now.
Yeah.
Right. Which isn't very limited. You'd think that maybe the price would go down a little bit. Because basically, Felcher was telling us they're just trying to recoup the costs. You know, that they spent on restoring the film. So you would think if they're going to have 10,000 out there, well, it was $80 for 5,000. Maybe they could decrease it maybe $20, you know, just to make it more affordable so more people would buy it.
Okay. If they thought they were going to recoup their money with 5,000, what's this extra 5,000? That just sounds like a money grab then.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
So, I mean, you said you're going to, I'm trying to recoup money, but, oh, wait, we're going to do more. So, did they spend more money on the project, or they just decided, hey, everything's sold out so much, we can make more money, which, you know, is fine. You know, to be honest, it's business. You're going to make money.
Right.
You're not here to do it for free, but it does seem shady. I mean, I'm not getting it. I'm gonna get the cheaper version because I don't have the DVD. I have looks decent we watched it a couple, like a year or so ago. It looked really good, up converted. So I'm happy with the theatrical cut, and I'll get the other cut and then see how it goes. But I'm not, ain't no way I'm spending $80 on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, again, it's, this is what I don't understand. And I know Felcher tried to explain it, you know, it's they're recouping their costs and all that, but it's a limited edition. I understand that. It's limited, right?
Yeah.
It's just three discs, though. And it's $80.
Right.
Why?
Why don't you tell us how much you spent on the motherfucking restoration?
I mean,
come on, tell me how much you spent, because I don't believe...
Yeah, but... You know,
$80 times $10,000.
Right.
That's like, what is that, $80,000?
I think it's $800,000.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say, $800,000. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
If maybe, I mean, even if they're charging, true. And what do they have that set for, like $56, I think, on Amazon, isn't it $56 or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't looked.
I think it is. Okay.
I've been interested in looking, to be honest.
That would be, if they sold all those copies for $56, that would be $560,000. That restoration
right.
cost that much? You're not even we're not even talking about the regular $30 edition. You know?
Right. You're not even talking about that, which I'm not even, I don't know about buying that.
I wouldn't.
I'll probably rent it and then wait till it goes down in price.
The shit. The thing is, though, the Scream Factory stuff never goes down in price.
Well, I'll wait till I get some, like, points or something so I can, you know, get it without spending too much money.
Yeah. It's just a very expensive time for horror fans nowadays. I know that.
Well, you can get it secondhand, perhaps, maybe for $5 or $10 cheaper.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, the Halloween set, I don't see anything that special in that set that warrants, you know, it's $120 on Amazon. I'm sorry, man. I mean, I'm not about to rebuy all that shit just for, you know, producer's cut, which is inferior to the theatrical version anyway.
Man, I don't know about that.
I think it is.
I think they both suck to a degree.
Well,
so.
I mean, a lot of people do, but I think the theatrical version is slightly better.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really doesn't register me because, I mean, it's not like I'm going to go jump out and watch that movie much.
Yeah. But, you know, not all studios are that way. You know, they don't, they're not like uber fucking, I guess greedy. I guess that'd be a good word.
Well, I mean, you got, I mean, it's okay to be greedy, but, you know, I mean, that's what it's all about in the end. That's got to be part of your mission is to make money. You know, there's just better ways of doing it. You know,
I think
better,
so too.
Better ways to not seem like you're being shady. Because I mean, unfortunately, if you do that shit pretty often, people are not. I mean, you may be putting out good shit, but if you're charging $80 for it, no one's going to buy that firsthand,
right.
And then. It's gonna. You have fucking warehouse of it.
Well, it's
it'll
like
discount. It's so.
We were talking about Dark Sky Films earlier, and their 40th anniversary edition. It's a 4-disc set. That's like $22 on Amazon.
Right.
It's a Blu-ray, 4-disc Blu-ray. That's $22. That's what things should be priced.
And then, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, I know the movie's been clouded in its. History with the mob and all that shit, but which movie is more, you know, got more historic inspiration and all kinds of stuff in the horror stuff is going to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, and what's a movie you're definitely going to be watching more, too?
I mean, I love Nightbreed, but I don't watch it maybe every 3 years or if that. I loved it when I first saw it, and I've watched it many times when I first got it on VHS. But really, it's the pricing is just not is not in line with what title it is.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure they did a crazy great job of putting it together and stuff, but still.
Just a couple more news stories on here, though. We'll move on from that. But I just, it is a trend that I'm noticing more and more these days. And I think us as horror fans, we need to wise up, because it's only going to get worse if we don't, in my opinion.
God bless America.
Yeah. Peace out, players. The Poughkeepsie Tapes, Steve, you remember this movie?
Yeah, I saw some stuff about that recently.
Yeah. The film is now out on DirecTV. This movie was originally expected to open in theaters way back in 2007, but I think it was due to MGM filing bankruptcy and a few other things. It's been sitting on the shelf for, 7 years now. So, and the movie's not too bad, actually. We reviewed it last year, I think, on the show. And it's an enjoyable movie. For what it is, it's not like it's, you know.
It doesn't seem like something like MGM would put that out.
No. Honestly, to me, like, when I saw it, I was like, they should totally release this direct to DVD.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looked like.
It never seemed like a theatrical movie to me at all. It just seems like one of these kind of, I don't even know, like a August Underground light kind of movie to me.
Yeah, kind of. And it's just an interesting concept, too.
I mean, it's...
Especially now. I mean, if you look at, like, the VHS movies that's out now, and it's really ahead of its time. It's the documentary
kind of thing and everything. I like that part of it.
Yeah, and then it's about, you know, the serial killer that they discover these, you know, all these tapes.
Yeah.
And they go through them and all that. It's interesting. I think it's interesting for sure. And if you have DirecTV, I guess you can watch it now somehow.
They don't watch TV, DirecTV.
That's right. I used to have DirecTV back in the day, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my first, satellite TV thing. We actually, I think it was the first pay-per-view, way I could watch pay-per-view back in the day, too, like 95 or so. I think it was Survivor Series 95 was the very first pay-per-view ever watched live, so that was a cool experience. But know a whole lot about DirecTV anymore.
My first satellite television was the big white one in the yard,
big
1986 or something.
Do you see any of those satellites anymore? I don't see hardly any of them.
No,
even around
they
here,
don't work anymore. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they don't work any. They used to be around here, but I don't see them anymore.
Well, I mean, the only there used to be different companies out there that would give you. Get you set up, but now it's just down to the DirecTV and Dish. But I mean, we didn't have any of that shit back then,
right? Yeah, I think DirecTV was the first one with the small smaller dish.
Yeah,
wasn't that that was the thing everybody was like excited. And you had Dish Network, and there was a few other ones that came out before, but I guess they're out of business now or something.
We used to get hornet or wasp put a nest in our cone of our satellite, so we would start losing channels, and all of a sudden we would say, "What the fuck?" And then we had to clean out the thing full of wasps to get all our channels back.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see here. Let's go through some more. One that I'm surprised at I didn't think this thing would even come out in theaters, but it actually opened last weekend, The Purge Anarchy. And I haven't heard too many good things about that. Have you, Steve?
I think I saw something that said it was the purge that we all wanted or something. But
really? I heard some people say it was bad.
Well, I mean, it looked kind of lower budget than the first one, and the first one wasn't that big of a budget, I'm sure.
Yeah. The Walking Dead. I guess we could mention this on here briefly.
Oh, no.
Season 5. AMC released the key art for the San Diego Comic-Con 2014 for the upcoming season. They actually have a panel planned for Season 5 of The Walking Dead. And that season starts, what does it start, in the fall, I guess, in October?
Yeah, probably early October.
Yeah, I think that show has definitely, seems like the last year or so, and I've never really watched it, so I can't tell you, but seems like it kind of ran its course last year. People kind of started to get sick of it a little bit.
I mean, I'll be honest, I liked it. I mean, I watch it, but it's not like, I don't get into it as like, you know, it's like everybody says, it's more drama, but I mean, there's so much story in those comic books, so there's no telling, you know, it may get good again, it may not, I don't know.
Probably
but
won't.
I'll probably watch it, though, because, I mean, what the fuck, it ain't nothing else.
Another what the fuck news story. They're working on another Ring sequel. F. Javier Gutierrez of the Real Riba La Rosa has been chosen by Paramount to helm the Ring 3. So, that's kind of crazy because the Ring sequel came out, what, it was well over 10 years ago, I think.
It was 02, I'm pretty sure, close to it, something like that.
And the first Ring, which I actually enjoy, the first Ring movie. I mean, a lot of people.
Well, that was what we watched. They have like another Ring movies out in Japan called like whatever that chick name is, Sadeka or whatever the hell it
is. Yeah, Sadako.
Yeah, they had like Sadako 3D, and then now they have Sadako 3D 2. It wasn't very good, I can tell you that.
Yeah. So, well, the Ring 2 here in the United States, holy shit. I don't know what in the hell they were thinking with that. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, CG Deer, dude.
Yeah. Because I remember, like, when that came out, I guess in 2002 or something, you were saying.
Well, that's the first one. I know the other one came out, like, 2005 because I had a date.
Are you talking about the Ring 2?
Yeah, the Ring 2.
Yeah, well, whatever year it came out. I remember because I was like, did that come out in the theater? Because it must have just like came out and just vanished because nobody went to see it or it got really bad reviews. So I bought it back in the day too, like 2005, 2006. DVDs were still kind of expensive to get, like most places. But our movie gallery in Prestonsburg, back when we had a movie gallery, they would have a lot of their releases had been out for about a month or something. They'd have them on sale, like you'd get 5 for $20 or something like that.
10 for $40.
Yeah. And that was one I picked up. I was like, God, that's going to be good, I bet. That'll be, like, I remember I loved the first Ring movie. This one's going to be good because it's got, you know, the same people and all that in it. And I started watching that, and I was like, what in the fuck? Like, I would love to know the story behind what happened with that. Like, because that's just, I almost want to go back and revisit it and maybe do a Creepy's Crappy movie review on it or something. I want to talk about it again because I just remember back when I watched it for the first time and the only time still to this day, I was just, I don't know. I was wondering like what went wrong here? How did it get this bad? Because the first one was good.
I don't know. I saw The Ring 2, the Japanese, and it wasn't too bad. The Japanese version of Ring 2.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think the U.S. Ring 2 was actually directed by the original director of the Japanese version, right?
No, I think he directed both of them.
No, the first one was directed by that Gore Verbinski dude.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then Hiroshi Tanahaki, or whatever the fuck his name is. I don't know. He's having some chicken fried rice and shit on the set. The Ring 2.
Damn, I'm trying to remember a name. Shit. Damn. I don't know.
Steve, come on, buddy. Put you on the spot.
Suzuki.
Oh, Kensuke Sasaki.
Suzuki Samurai.
We're going to piss off our Asian fans here, boys.
Well,
let me tell you something, too, because everybody knows,
let
you know.
Tell you something.
Let me lay it on the line. Here's a story for you, Steve.
Story time.
First time since probably February. It was last night, actually. I went to Peking, Steve.
Oh, no.
First time since February. First time.
No.
And, man, I don't know. how that business works, but aside from the guy that runs the restaurant, all the other Asian women in there were different. There was not one of them that I'd seen before in there.
I think they do, man.
And here's the thing, too, and I don't want to be mean, but it's true. All those Asian, like the Chinese waitresses in there, they're fucking butt ugly, man. Like, where do they find them at? Are they just kind of like, I mean, I'm just curious because, you know, I usually find some Asian women attractive, but goddamn, boys, it looked like they got hit with the ugly stick at least half a dozen times.
There's, I think I see a lot of them. They all live together that work there sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know where they live.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's just not.
Be honest with you, I didn't really enjoy the food that much either.
Oh.
Yeah, so I probably won't be going back for another 6 months or so.
You're not a foodie no more?
Do what now?
A foodie that likes food.
I like food, but at the same time, I'm more aware of stuff that can really hurt me now. You know,
Well,
I'm talking about, you know, diet-wise. I don't want to eat a bunch of rice and noodles and shit.
Yeah.
So
I can't eat white rice for. I got high triglycerides, so I gotta watch my
triglycerides, baby. Triglycerides. Say that.
Yeah. I gotta watch myself.
Yeah, and that type of food too. You know, the Chinese food and stuff, it makes you feel bad after you eat it. I mean, it always did me. Like, I always felt like I was about to puke and or shit myself.
Well, I always felt like really, really stuffed.
Yeah, like, I don't know if they put that Madison Square Garden stuff in there or whatever it is.
Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. But it makes you feel full bloated, I guess is a good word.
Well, I mean, you eat rice and you fucking drink water, that shit just expands in your belly welly.
I know.
Like, that's why they stopped doing it for birds at weddings. Birds were fucking exploding.
Those birds love that fucking rice, man.
They need to eat it and blow the fuck up.
So, I guess that's it, though, this week. Is there anything you want to mention on here, Steve?
I mean, if ever, anybody's, like, looking for shit to watch, I suggest going to YouTube. There are so many of, you know, horror movies on YouTube. I mean, the old stuff, newer stuff. There's just amazing stuff on YouTube. So
yeah,
if you get bored and you ain't got no money, on YouTube.
Got you a smart TV and you can watch all kinds of shit.
Roku, get on there and do a search and bam, you'd be watching Death Weekend.
I was watching
Weekend.
Yeah, they got a lot of good episodes of Behind the Music on there too. I've been watching those on YouTube on my smart TV. So
right, I mean you can,
there's all kinds of shit you can watch on there, and it saves you money, you know, because there's, and I know I'm gonna piss some people off when I say this, because Felcher's a friend of ours, and he makes money, he makes a living doing this stuff, but you know, other people have to, you know, like me, I've got to be thrifty with my money. I'm not a millionaire. I can't go out and buy all these fucking DVDs and autographs and all this shit, you know. That's why that's one of the big reasons I did the voodoo thing. You know, I don't have to spend as much money now on movies.
Right.
That's just going to sit there on the shelf and collect dust most of the time, so.
Yeah, I mean, I look at mine now and it's like, what am I doing? I mean, I can't get half the money I put into it. So it's just like, it's better to keep it there versus going to sell it for a buck or $3.
That's about all you can get for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just like, I don't know.
Yep. But anyway, we will be back next week. Like I said, we'll try to have one of the DVD guys on. Maybe Don May, we can get him on next week, or somebody.
Yeah, I want Don May to stay my Facebook friend.
Yeah.
Because he's going to purge, apparently. He's going to have a purge.
He's going to have a purge. Yeah.
Yep.
So, until then, I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm the B-Plan.
Oh, yeah, before we go.
Yeah.
WrestleManiacs, we are going to, all the people that like the wrestling stuff, we are planning another classic review on Sunday evening. I think it's going to be about 7 o'clock. We're going to review the very first WWF SummerSlam event. So that'll be fun. You can join in too with us, Steve, if you want to. It'll be, I don't think it'll be past your bedtime yet. So that'll be cool. I'll try to get the word out about that. Like I said, it's going to be about 7 o'clock on Sunday, this coming Sunday, SummerSlam 88. Very first one. So, cause we'll have the big SummerSlam coming up a couple weeks after that. Anyway, we'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next week here on DeadPit.com.
Pick your poison. It ain't my fault. Cold water river. More like a swamp. I see that scene. I hear that voice. Hearts and flowers. My drugs of choice. Boy, don't ever think you're alone. You keep the company of old gray ghosts, and they never, ever, ever leave your side. They fight off the stillness when it kills you inside. The rain fell harder. I wore that boot till it didn't fit. I broke the map out, followed the clues, went on a mission for the Avalon Blues. Boy, don't ever think you're alone. Kills you inside. The fight off the stairs.